pray. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. It says, Paul writes, and he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to a spiritual people, but to as carnal, as to babes in Christ." Paul says, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am Paul,' another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this Memorial Day weekend. And Lord, as I can see here in the early service, and I'm sure probably in the next, many, many have gone to travel, Lord, to take a break on this wonderful holiday time. We pray, O Lord, over them for their journey there and their safe journey back, and praying that our highways across our nation, Lord, somehow I pray they're safe. And Lord, we give honor and thanks, deep, deep gratitude to the military men and women, those, O God, that have sent in the battle, Lord, and knowing that they may never come back home, or if they do, they may come back completely wounded for life. Lord, we're so thankful for our military. We lift the men and women in uniform up all around the world and in America right this moment. And Lord, we pray over them for their safety, peace in their families. We're so thankful, Lord, for all that they do. They deserve so much more. And Lord, somehow, some ways you always do, I pray this morning that you reach out and touch those that we love. We pray over Harley, Lord, just knowing that one setback after another, but Lord, let that setback be a step up for him. Give him just healing in his body. And Lord, Jessica and Anna, the people that we continue to pray for, and we're thankful that she's out of the hospital, Lord, and Father, again, for the men and women in uniform. And Lord, somehow, some way, as you always do, I pray that you help me to teach these four verses that are so deep and so needed to be taught. Help me to do it faithfully and accurately. And let me, Lord, speak only your truth, not my opinion, but your truth in this matter. We love you. We give you praise and glory this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. Amen. God is good. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Wonderful. We're going to continue our study this morning. You know, as we return to Corinth, remember the foulest city at that time, of course, in the ancient world, we return to a sad, really a disgraced church. And that's the church at Corinth. This morning, I want to talk to you about a question. What is a carnal Christian? Very important word about that. You know, here you have this church that, as we know, that's enriched in everything by the Lord, called into fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the partnership, intimacy with our Lord, and yet in their fellowship with each other is so divided. They're harming one another. They're suing one another. They're literally taking advantage of one another. And some of them are even ripping other believers off. They are getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They're abusing the gifts of the Spirit. They have major, major marriage problems. So, you know, welcome to the church at Corinth, amen? A church that allows the culture of that time, just like today, instead of the culture, the church having the impact on the culture, the culture has the impact upon the Christians, and especially in Corinth. What I love, you know, 1 Corinthians is corrective and narrative. And when we get to 2 Corinthians, I don't think that there is a more heartbreaking epistle from the heart of the Apostle Paul. I mean, every time I teach through 2 Corinthians, I want to just weep because of what his heart is. He's a great man of God, and so forth. Now, with all that being said this morning, as we look into Corinthians, especially here in chapter 3, I want you to remember something. No other epistle in the entire New Testament gives us a picture of what the first century church was like this one does. It is fully exposed of all the issues, and the same issues that they had, over eight major issues, we have the same issues in the church today. So what is a carnal Christian? Well, you've probably heard so many different sermons on that. Is a carnal Christian, are they saved? Can a carnal Christian remain a carnal Christian? Or do they have to grow up? Can they always remain babies? Paul tells us the characteristics of, in this chapter, of a carnal Christian. He mentions a few things. There's cliques. There's four cliques especially mentioned here. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ, and so forth. So they have a hero worship going on. But more than that, he says here they are full of divisions, contentions, and envy, and strife, and so forth. My question is, can a believer remain in that state? Can they stay there? Is that okay? And still, I mean, are they truly saved? Now, with all that being said, there are three categories of persons that we've been talking about. This, now we're introduced to the third one, if you will. We have the natural man last week. The natural man, of course, is one who is dead in trespasses and sins. They cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They can't, because the Word of God is foolishness to them. They're not born from above, nor can you expect them to receive it. Then you have the spiritual man, the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit, new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And he has access to the deep things of God. We learned that in chapter 2. But now we come to the carnal man. The carnal Christian, oh boy, listen, they're filled with the Spirit of God, but they're ruled by another spirit, the spirit of the world. Instead of walking in the Spirit, they walk in the flesh. So this morning, beginning in verse 1, let's find out what a carnal Christian is. Paul writing to them, and he says, I, brethren, and that word is neuter there, meaning brothers and sisters, okay? So I, brethren, could not speak to you as to a spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes or babies in Christ. The word babes in Christ literally in the Greek there would read more about those who are not able to talk yet. In other words, if they are talking, it's just a bunch of baby talk, all right? So are they saved? We first, let's determine if a carnal Christian can be saved. The answer has to be yes, they are saved. Or Paul the Apostle lovingly would have never said, you're my brothers and you're my sisters. Amen? He would have never said that. He said, listen, you're my family. So Paul immediately in this epistle, every word is important. He treats them, the carnal believers, as family and as also as equals. And he tells them their position in Christ. They're saved. They're justified. Yet he lovingly tells them their true position, and I mean their true condition, and that is they're carnal, oh, but they're saved. What a terrible place to be in. Listen, only a spiritual person, not a carnal Christian, only a spiritual Christian, one who is full of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, growing in Christ's likeness, can do what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, and ye which are spiritual, restore those who have fallen. Amen? See, you have to be walking in the Spirit to be able to restore some other believer who's got into a lot of trouble. God would never turn a believer that is in trouble over to a carnal believer or someone who's not walking in the Spirit of God. So Paul asked him, and he said, listen, I want to talk to you the right way. I want to talk to you as a bunch of grown-ups, not as a spiritual people, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, but I can't do it because you live like the world. That's carnal. That's what it means. You live like the world, and you also act like the world. And more than that, you could not hardly tell them apart from a believer and an unbeliever because of the things that they were doing. So what is a carnal Christian? In this case here, and in cases today, a carnal Christian is one who claims Jesus Christ as Savior, but does not live as Jesus Christ is their Lord. Does that make sense? And that's a sad thing. So a carnal Christian has the Holy Spirit living in them. However, the Holy Spirit doesn't have them in their walk. They're probably not even aware of the Spirit of God, don't even know the doctrine about the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul says, you know what? You're also babes. I like Knox's translation. He says, you're nothing more than little children in Christ's nursery. You know, babies are beautiful. Amen? Amen. You see how we do the dedications here and have pictures of the back, you know, and Heather's board back there, remember, of all the newborns that come in. But, you know, to have a 30-year-old Christian that's carnal, is still a baby, that's a problem, isn't it? Three people. Don't do that. I know, the first service, you're my favorite. You're going to have to help me this morning, loved one. No, listen. So a babe is one that is a baby. They're not growing in Christ-likeness. They're not growing, as Peter said, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the problem. Carnal Christians are anybody that's in the Lord. They don't have an excuse. They have no excuse to stay there. So the word carnal, what exactly does it mean? The NIV translates it, I believe, as worldly. That's a good translation. But really the word carnal means this, fleshly, of the flesh. The carnal mind, the fleshly mind is enmity against God. Amen? Yeah, and so forth. So if you look that word up, carnal, in Latin, or if you look it up in French, you would find the word carna, which means sensual, if you will. Matter of fact, you know, we get our word carnival from the word carnal. It is from two words. It means literally farewell flesh, goodbye flesh, okay? And if you, for example, I've never done so, but I'm sure some of you may have done so in your old life, and that is gone to the Mardi Gras. You know, there in New Orleans, have you ever been to Mardi Gras? Well, you know, Mardi Gras, if you study that word out, it's a French word for Fat Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. And then you know what that is. That's the Tuesday before Lent. And refers to the events of a carnival celebration. So that's that celebration is one before Lent there on Fat Tuesday, where everybody kind of, well, they just gorge themselves, I guess, with fleshly whatever. I don't want to get into what they do because I don't know, but it's of the flesh. And then when Lent starts, they say, farewell to flesh. It's now time to get right. Now look what Paul says. He says, I fed you with what? Milk. Very important now. He says, I fed you with milk, talking to the church at Corinth, and not with solid food, for until now. Now, the church was over 4 years old, so it must be at least 5 years, because Paul planted the church, remember? So it says, until now, this very moment, 5 years later, until now, he says, you were not able to receive it. In other words, past tense in the very beginning. And he says, and even now, you're not, still not able, present tense. Why? For you are still carnal. You're still walking under the influence of the flesh, the old man. You're not walking after the Spirit. Now listen, every believer in this chapel and every believer in every generation, we all start out as babes in Christ. Amen? We're just born again. We're just a little baby in Christ. We have a diet of milk because we need that. But to be on the bottle 5 years after you're a believer, would you say that's kind of sad? Yes, to not grow. In other words, all you do is just have milk. You know, Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, you know what he did? He was a great writer, a theologian. You know what he did? Whenever he had a brand new believer come to the Lord, you know, the church, it says right here, I'm reading from what he wrote. He says, we give them a glass of milk to new converts at their first communion as a symbol of the very truth that I'm speaking of this morning. You know, isn't that great in a way? Here you go. You're brand new. This is your diet, but it's not going to remain your diet, okay? So I think that that's something that we need to think about today. I mean, can you imagine right now showing up in your baby clothes? Welcome to Calvary Chapel, the baby church. We're full of all babies, and everybody has diapers and a bottle, and you're sitting there nursing on your bottle while you're listening to the Word of God, and some of you say, well, I'm going to crawl on the floor, and you know what I mean. You're crawling all around. I mean, that's kind of frightening, you know. Paul said, listen, he said, milk. I fed you with milk. That means if someone is feeding you with milk, you're not feeding yourself. Amen? That's exactly what Paul is saying. I fed you. Literally, it's I irrigated you. I flooded you, if you will, with the milk of God's word. He said, but you know what? You're still in pre-K. You're still a bunch of little crybabies. You're still, the only song you know is, yes, Jesus loves me. You know what I'm saying. That's exactly what it is. You're on a liquid diet. See, a carnal Christian that's on milk, they look at their pastor as nothing more than a spiritual milk bottle. You follow me? And that's all that I do. You just, here you go, take some of this. Now, let me burp you and go out and win the lost, and I'll see you next Sunday. Carnal Christians have absolutely no excuse to remain carnal. So why is it that we see today a lot of that activity, just like Paul said? You know, carnal Christians, number one, they love an exclusive milk diet. Listen, that's all babies love milk. Or formula, whatever it is today, you understand. No, they love that. They don't have a desire to grow up, but they should be having a desire to grow up. And you know what Bible doctrine does to those who are on the milk bottle? It puts them sound asleep. They go, oh my, this is killing me. And you know why? Because babies are selfish. When they want to be fed, do you know it? When they're hungry, do you know it? Yes. It's all about them. So here is a church that Paul taught. It's probably, for at least 5 years, Apollos taught there. Peter taught there. And yet, even after all that time, Paul said, you are still carnal. And one of the reasons, not there, but today, the one reason that there's so many carnal believers is that there's so much baby talk from the pulpits in our country. Do you understand? I mean, just a bunch of baby talk. And here's the thing. Carnal Christians, number one, they love milk. Carnal Christians love baby sermons. They really do. See, to a carnal Christian, a baby sermon is like a baby blanket. You know how they like their blankets and they feel so warm and they feel so secure. They love those feel-good sermons. They love those longhorn sermons. You know what a longhorn sermon is. You know, 2 points with a lot of bull in the middle. You understand? That's what they love. And not only that, a carnal Christians, that in-depth teaching puts them over the top. And, you know, carnal Christians, they start pouting if they're provoked or if they're challenged in any way. Luke 9:23 sends them over the top, to deny yourself, take up the cross, daily and follow Jesus. That troubles them and they shout, and they start crying, well, I'm under grace. I don't have to do anything. No, yes, you do. You have to grow up. All of us have to grow up. Amen? That's what it means. So, like babies, remember the rattles? Do babies still have rattles today? Lord, please help me today. They have to be entertained. They like to be entertained. They like to come and everything is perfect in the church, the lighting, the music, the sound, the pastor, whatever, or because they're babies. It's all about them. You know what they need to do? Babies need to be weaned. So they should be sent back to kids' church there at Heather in the nursery, you know what I'm saying? And until they're weaned so they can come out here and be in the congregation. I mean, my goodness. I mean, just imagine me. Here I am. I have a bottle in my hand. I'm your pastor. Imagine me in diapers. No, I don't. No, no, no. Don't, not that. No, let's don't even think that. Imagine there I am, and there, the board at the back where all the newborn pictures are, the new ones. There I am. Heather's just put up a picture of little baby Billy. Coming in at 185 pounds, 6'3". You understand? I mean, don't you think that's a little bit absurd? Yes. See, there's no excuse not to mature in Christ. There's no, you can't stay there. A carnal Christian cannot stay there. And now Paul tells us the main reason that they are still carnal and not maturing. Look at verse 3. He says, here's the reason. He says, for you are still what? Carnal. You're still people of the flesh. You're still controlled by your old fallen nature and so forth. The NIV again says you are nothing but worldly. Here it comes. Why are they carnal? For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal? And watch this now, behaving like mere men. Behaving like mere men literally means that, you know what, you're behaving like an unbeliever. You're behaving like a person that is lost. That is a question. Now listen, Paul's question deserves to be answered in every generation, doesn't it? Every generation. Remember, the word carnal means flesh. What does it say in Galatians 2:20 when Paul talking about the flesh, the carnal, and so forth? He said, listen, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me, and the life that I now live, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says in Romans 8:12, it says we're not debtors to the flesh. The word debt means obligated. We're not obligated to the flesh at all. I'm not obligated to my old nature, my old man, the Adamic nature at all. I'm obligated to the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you? That's exactly what he's saying here. Verse 3 does something. It defines part of what a carnal Christian is, and it's literally is flesh on display. And look at those words: envy, strife, division. Now listen, that is all what babies do. That's baby talk, if you will. And all of those, if you go to Galatians chapter 5 verse 20-21 about the works of the flesh, that's what that is listed as, works of the flesh. And it says those who practice such things in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh, the things that are listed there, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So people who continually do this over and over and over throughout their whole life, loved one, I would have to say, are they really born again? Are you following me? I would say they're probably not. Because if they're not changing, then there's going to be an issue. See, James put it this way. He says in James 3:14, he says, if you have bitter envy, this word that we're looking at right now, and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. In other words, don't you start boasting by sinning against God, against the truth of God's word. You know, self is always the center of all fleshly behavior. Comes from self. Now, when you look at envy, remember that, why did the religious rulers turn Jesus over to be crucified to Pilate? Envy. Matter of fact, it says, and I think it's Matthew 27, he says, listen, Pilate knew that they handed Jesus over to him because of envy. Boy, envy is a murderous thing. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And then that strife. Remember from our study about strife, the word in Greek is Erdes. Erdes is a Greek goddess. It was the goddess of strife, the goddess of discord. It means those who are in love with strife. And then division. God, we already know that God hates those who cause division, sows division in the church. Amen? So these are horrible, horrible traits. That's why Paul says you're behaving like a bunch of lost people. That's what a carnal Christian does. He behaves because he's in the flesh. He's not in the spirit, even though he has the Holy Spirit of God. And so, man, they're in trouble. Remember what the Bible, James told us in James 3:16? He said, listen, where envy and strife and division exist, every other evil thing is there. In other words, they open up the door for every kind of evil. Verse 4, for when one says, Paul says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not what? Carnal. Now, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I won't give it to the second service because they're not capable, but the first service, you guys can do it, okay? Now, you know I'm teasing about you, not them. No. I'm joking. You ought to have some humor this morning. And believe me, I need humor today. No, loved one, listen to me. Did you notice that Paul here, now he's come full circle from when we started in chapter 1, verse 12, when he said the same thing. Are there not contentions among you and so forth? For Chloe's household has informed me that some are saying, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Apollos, I am of Christ. Remember? Now, here's the homework. Why did Paul leave off Cephas and our Lord Jesus? That's your homework assignment. I can't tell you. I won't tell you right now. But are y'all with me? Okay. So he's come full circle. Now listen, what does this mean? It means that when carnal Christians have a problem with their eyes, whenever they put their eyes on leaders, pastors, evangelists, TV, whatever it might be. Loved one, listen, to put your eyes on them, me, or any pastor is to put your eyes on something that is so weak. But you need to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Because see, he'll never fail you. He will never leave you. Amen? And so they were into, in a way, hero worship, or they were worshiping the servants. They were into cliques, if you will, and that divided up the church. Listen, boy, that should never, ever be. And you know, it has been my observation now, over 30-some-odd years as a pastor, listen carefully, it has been my observation when you have leaders that are carnal leaders, and they cause division in the church, something that God hates, carnal believers always follow the carnal leaders. What a tragic thing for that to occur. Now, so we number one, is a carnal Christian a believer? Yes. But can a carnal Christian remain carnal? Absolutely not. There is absolutely no way. No believer who comes to faith in Christ Jesus can live their rest of their life, their entire life, in a carnal manner. Listen, when you are born from above, you are changed. You are changed through faith alone, through grace alone, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, by believing the good news of the gospel. And when that results, when that happens, change comes into your heart. In other words, all of a sudden you start working for the Lord. You start following the Lord. You start thinking different. Amen? So you can't, no Christian, if they're true believers, they can't remain in that state. It's an impossibility if they're really born from above. Turn with me in your Bible. Hold your place, but turn with me in your Bible to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and look at chapter, let's start at chapter 1 down at the bottom, where he's writing about those that are saved and have come to the Lord and they're born again and so forth. He talks about the word of God, which endures forever. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. Since they are born again, filled with the Spirit of God, look what Peter says. Therefore, laying aside all malice, that's the desire to hurt somebody, to harm somebody, all deceit, that deliberate dishonesty, if you will, hypocrisy, you know, a play actor, a pretender, honoring God with your lips but not with your heart, if you will, a hypocrisy, and here's that word again, envy, all evil speaking. You know, that is always one that should be completely removed from the church. Amen? Can we, to speak against each other, we're all messed up. Why would we? I mean, nobody's perfect except Jesus. We're all under construction, amen? To speak evil of one another, do you know if we do that, the Bible says that we're speaking against Christ? Because we're the body of Christ, you see, and so forth. So he says, man, he says, I want you to get rid of all of that. I want you to lay it aside. That means to cast it away from you. Rid yourself of anything that would hinder you growing up or spiritual growth. In other words, babies must grow up, and they do so in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, did you notice that Peter says to lay aside? He didn't say fight against these sins. Oh, I've got to fight and defeat them. No. He said get rid of them right now, and we do it through the Holy Spirit of God. And look what he says now. As newborn what? Babies. Just if you're a baby in Christ, listen to what we do. It says desire the pure. That means nothing contaminated, not watered down, the pure milk of the word. And then he tells us why. That you may grow thereby. Listen, every Christian, we are all started out and we are so dependent upon the milk of God's word. Why? Because see, when you have a new nature, you have to have a new food that agrees with your new nature. Does that make sense? See, you can't grow up with the things of the world. You can't grow up if you walk in the flesh. It's an impossibility. So we have to have food, which is the Word of God, that agrees with our new nature. You see, without God's Word, there's no growth. You'll never grow up. Without God's Word, you'll never know the will of God. Without God's Word, you'll never know how to defeat the devil. Without God's Word, you'll never know who you really are in Christ. Without God's Word, there is absolutely no transformation that'll take place. You must be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Amen? The Bible teaches us apart from God's Word, you have no light, you're walking in darkness. Apart from God's Word, man is incomplete and unequipped, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and following. Man, the Word of God, Jesus told us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we grow up. Now, that means we all need it. And look what happens if we eliminate things in our life. You see, when you eliminate, okay, I'm getting rid of malice, I'm getting rid of envy, and I can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe me, read Romans 8:11. Now, with all that being said, you eliminate and then you desire. To eliminate and desire means to be enthusiastic about the Word of God. You see, and it says, and look what it says then in verse 3. It says, now if indeed you have tasted or literally experienced with pleasure that the Lord is gracious. So you eliminate, you're enthusiastic, and now you start experiencing what the Word of God does. It's like the psalmist has said in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Now listen, milk is vital for all of us, but it has to mix with solid food. One more turn, if you don't mind. Turn to Hebrews. Just turn back. You don't have far to go. Turn to Hebrews and go to chapter 5 with me. Hebrews chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 11. This is a warning in the book of Hebrews. The author is talking about the sin of not progressing. Again, a carnal Christian cannot remain a carnal Christian. He has to grow up. Now look at verse 11. The author writes this. He says, of whom we have, we have much to say. Hard to explain. Not hard to explain because they're not smart people or they lack the intelligence. But look at it. Since you have become what? Dull. That word literally means you become lazy. Lazy where? Lazy ears. Lazy, it says, of hearing. Become dull in your hearing. Now listen very carefully. The word, when you saw that word, of whom? I don't have time to teach the previous chapter because I'm talking about growing up, not being a carnal Christian. But if you study the context of whom, it is not speaking of Melchizedek there, in case you're wondering, or later on you might read that. It's speaking of our great high priest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? It's important that you see that. So that's the subject there. It says, of whom we have so much to talk to you about. I mean, this the author, which I believe is Paul, okay, he's saying, listen, oh, there's so many things I want to share with you. I want to tell you so much about Jesus, our great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who is our forerunner. He says, but I can't do it. I can't do it at all, man. He says, you're just not listening. And he says, look what he says. For by this time, you ought, that implies moral obligation on our part, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you what? Again. What? The first principles of the oracles of God. And here it comes. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. Loved one, this is the responsibility of every believer. Amen? Every believer. That's not speaking of a pastor here. This is speaking of all Christians. You know, but these guys ought to be teachers, these people. And you know what? They're not. They need to be retaught. In other words, they have to go all the way back to pre-K and learn, yes, Jesus loves me, all over again. All the ABCs of the Christian life. And Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says, listen, by this time, that means they, you know, you can be going into your life and you can come to a standstill. start being carnal, going back, living the old way or whatever, when you should be making disciples. Again, to be a Christian for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years but never have grown, that is a tragedy, isn't it, loved one? Listen, this is so important this morning. I pray your ears are open to this. What is the difference between milk, the milk of the word, and the solid food of the word? What is the difference? Because there is a difference. The milk of the word of God. See, that's what a baby desires, what a baby needs. That's our first step into the kingdom. That's when all of a sudden we start learning about what Christ did in his earthly ministry, what he did when he came to earth, all that Jesus has done, meaning his life, his teaching, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Amen? That's what that means. That's milk. Now listen to me. I never outgrow the milk of the word of God. However, the solid food. What is solid food then? Oh, loved one, listen. The solid food refers to what Jesus is doing now. Right this minute. Listen, when the book of Acts was, Theophilus. He says, I'm writing to you to tell you about all that Jesus did, right? And now is beginning to do. You see, it should be the Acts of Jesus, not the Acts of the apostles. Do you understand? Jesus is still the head of the church. He's still moving today, generation after generation. See, we know what Christ did. But you know what? The solid food is what is our great high priest doing right now in every generation. Yes, he's making intercession for us. Yes, he ever liveth for us. Yes, all those things we live through his life. But yet, he is still the head of the church, and the church is not sedentary. It's moving, isn't it? See, when you know the solid word of God, the food, that's when you start walking in the Spirit in a greater way, loved one. You're off the milk. Listen, Jesus is no longer on the cross. Thank God for that. He's our forerunner. He's entered heaven for us right now. And he's also with us. And if he's with us, it says, remember in the book of Acts, Mark, at the end, he went out with the disciples and people that believed and so forth. These signs followed them because the Lord was working with them. He's still working with his church. And that is the solid food. Listen to me now. It is vital in our hearts that we have established the milk of the word, which is the incredible work of Christ. All that he has done. That's why we're justified. You know, that's why we're sanctified. That's that one day we're going to be glorified. Do you understand? But why is it that we spend so much time always on what Jesus has done, the work of Christ, instead of the current heart of Christ? What he is doing now, what he wants done now. Lowen, that is what the solid food is, and how the church today needs it desperately. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavenlies, seated at the right hand of God after he had purged our sins. Amen? Oh, how wonderful to know that. Look at verse 13. For everyone, that means there's not any exceptions, for everyone who partakes or literally uses only milk, that exclusive diet, baby diet, is unskilled. Meaning you're not experienced, unskilled in the word of righteousness, right living in this dead world. Why? Look at it. For he is a what? He's immature. He's a baby. If you don't take the solid food, the milk, yes, and the solid food, you're not there, loved one. You're still just a little baby. Milk is vital, gosh, for every believer, but there comes a time when you have to start adding the solid food to your diet. You can be active in church. You can be active in service, serving people. But yet never, ever growing because you're only living on a milk-exclusive diet. you know, during the week, every week, you know what happens right there during Monday, Tuesday, in the office. I hear the door open. Of course, I'm back in my office, and you know what? Kids come in, and I love that. But you know where they run to? They don't run to the pastor's office. They run to Merlinda's office. Why? Because Merlinda has the candy. Babies like candy. And they go and just stand and look. Their eyes are glazed over. You know, they're drooling. I mean, it's unbelievable and so forth. And you know what? You could sit right beside that. You know, like a chicken fried steak covered in gravy, sliced tomatoes with light pepper and salt, mashed potatoes, black-eyed peas, apple cobbler, homemade biscuits with butter dripping, right beside that candy. And which one would they take? The candy. Why? They are a baby. Do you understand? See, we can't be like that. We can't live off candy. We can't live off the milk of the word. Ephesians 4:14 says, listen, don't be tossed to and fro like children. With all the different doctrines, the things that are floating around in this life, he says, don't do that. Man, that's a dangerous place to be. We entered into the faith as a baby. There's no doubt about it. But we can't stay there. And we certainly don't want to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine like little children. Amen? No, not at all. Now watch this, verse 14. But solid food, that's what I want. That's what you really want. Solid food belongs to those who are what? You're grown up. You know what milk is. You want the solid food too. The milk, yeah, I need to quench my thirst, but I want this solid food. I am starving here. He says, full age, that is those who by reason of use, in other words, habitual use, watch this now, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Remember, what is solid food? Solid food is knowing what Christ is doing, our great high priest, understanding that, wanting to move forward with him, wanting to follow him in this life and so forth, to know his heart, not just about him. See, solid food is available. And I tell you something, it says discerning. Boy, if there's ever been a time when Christians need to discern, oh, it's today. If you're on an exclusive milk diet, you can't discern. You have to have the solid food. That's how you experience and know the things that are happening in this life. What a price the church today is paying because of spiritual immaturity. And 99% of the time, it's not your fault. It's whoever is in the pulpit. Watering down God's word. Easy believism sermons. Instead of teaching the pure word of God, which everyone needs. No. See, if a person only has a milk diet, a Christian, you know what happens? They can't discern the voice of the good shepherd. They only discern the voice of a stranger, and it'll lead them away because they don't know the voice of the good shepherd because they're only on milk. They're not on the solid food. And another thing is, today, the things that are happening, loved one, Christians today, you have to be careful about a mixed diet. In other words, the old man likes it, and even the new man likes it a little bit. It will get you in deep, deep trouble. Remember what the children of Israel, they were crying out, oh, we remember the flesh pots of Egypt. Oh, the leeks and the garlics and the onions and then bad breath. Remember all those things. You know what God said in his word about that? Because they requested it. They wanted it. They cried out for it. It says in Psalm 106:14, it tells us, it says, and they lusted, exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. Now listen to what God did. He gave them their request. You want the leeks, the garlics, the flesh? Okay, you can have it. And here's what happened. And he sent leanness to their soul. Loved one, listen, let us not today, beginning now, let us not miss out on the solid food. It said it belongs to us. It's available right this minute. You see, yes, let's get the milk, know all about what Jesus has done, but let's get on the solid food to see what the Holy Spirit of God is wanting to do now, how he's wanting to move the things that he's doing. In other words, Jesus, our Lord, he's passed through the heavens, man. He's there right now. He is still the head of the church. We are his body. The body, which is the church who fills all in all, the Bible says. Everything is under his feet, and they should be. Everything should be under our feet. Now, with all that being said, I know it's time to leave, but just give me one more minute. I want you to go to chapter 6 there and look at this, just the first two verses. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the ABCs, the elementary principles of Christ, here it comes, let us what? Go on. Let's go be moved forward in your life. He says, let us go on to perfection. In other words, maturity, not a bunch of crybabies anymore. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying upon hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. He's going, listen, you guys, get that underneath your belt. Eternal judgment, that's serious. Repentance from dead works, not repentance from sins. Dead works, oh, you know, earning God's love, earning God's favor, that's dead works, that's ridiculous. You can't earn God's love. He loves you, amen? You can't change God's love. Why? He loves you. I say, oh God, I look at it and I say, listen, can a carnal Christian be a Christian? Yes. Can they remain a carnal? No. They have to grow up. They have to get off the milk diet. Are you on a milk diet? Are you a carnal Christian? It's time to stop. It's time to move forward. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. As every person looks into their own heart, self-examination, only you know, Lord. I love every person. I'm so thankful for every person here, every person that's listening live right now. Lord, I love you. I'm thankful. But Lord, it's time. Some of these that are here this morning, they need to be weaned off an exclusive milk diet. They need to go deep in the Word of God into solid food, and they need to do it on their own. They need to grow. So Lord, in Jesus' name, move over your people, touching each and every one of them. Oh, Lord, bless them. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, and if Jesus Christ is not their Lord, if Jesus Christ is not their Savior, listen to me if that's you. You need to come to Christ now. You need to come home while there's time. If that's you and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to come down here. But you can just lift your hand high and say, Bill, I don't know Christ. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And if that's the case, I'll pray with you right where you're sitting. Anyone at all, just lift your hand, put it right back down. Just want to make sure this morning in this early service. Well, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for each and every soul that's present. There's no one like you. As we mark this Memorial Day weekend, we're going to leave the exclusive milk diet because the solid food belongs to us. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is good.